G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
This podcast is made available by Vision Christian Media, thanks to the generosity of our supporters. Your donation today means great podcasts like this remain available to help people look to God daily. Please make your donation to Visionathon today at vision.org.au.
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie is joined by his wife, Kath, with a discussion on the importance of male spiritual leadership in the home.
I think the situation in society and in culture today is kind of upside down. We have men who are unwilling to take the leadership role. As a result, women become hyper-controlling. When there's a leadership vacuum, they'll step in. And then you have this total imbalance, and that is unscriptural and biblical.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Nobody knows an invention better than the inventor themselves. Just as God created the family unit, He knew exactly how the family would work best. And today, on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us to explore God's plan for families as he continues his series, Home Sweet Home. Discover there's more harmony in the home when we live in harmony with God's will. Let's get started.
Let's grab our Bibles. We're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And the title of my message is, How to Get a New Husband. Now, my last message, I focused my remarks toward men. And in this message, I'm going to direct my remarks more toward the ladies here. And at the end of my message, my wife Kathy is going to come out. We're going to have a discussion about some of these things. So that's something to look forward to. But the title of the message, as I mentioned, is How to Get a New Husband. Now, Madison Avenue discovered years ago that the way to sell a product that's lagging a bit is to put the words new and improved on it. Now, it may be that the only thing that is new and improved about that product is the logo or the color or one extra ingredient that has no real effect, but just so they can technically say it's new and improved. Because there's something in us that wants the newest, we want the freshest, we want the fastest, we want the latest version of it. Sort of like if you ever buy a new car or truck. First of all, there's that new car smell. It's just so amazing because everything is so clean. And as you bought that car, you made a vow, I'm going to take care of this car. There will not be one dent in this car. This car will be washed every week. No, every day I will wash this car and I will take it in for regular maintenance and I'll keep it in perfect running order. And 30 years later, it'll still be on the road. I'm going to make it into a classic. Well, then there was that first family vacation. And if you have kids, forget about it. You know, now the first dent, now the second dent, now there's dents and dents, and you haven't been taking it down for regular maintenance, and now you're having some problems with it, and you know, it just isn't what it used to be. And then you just saw the latest model of your car cruise down the street, and you went, oh. So you go down to the car dealer now, and now you're looking at the new model, and you trade in your old junker for the latest version. Marriages can be like this. On the day you were married, you stated your vows. I take you for better or for worse, for richer and for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. And you meant every word of those vows, didn't you? But as time passed, you neglected the maintenance of your marriage. You didn't keep it tuned up. It began to sputter. It wasn't headed for being a classic. It was looking more like a junker. Then that new model caught your eye. That sensitive guy who actually listened to what you had to say, girls. and you thought, you try to thought on first size. Maybe I'll trade my spouse in on this person. Well, this is what we never want to do. So I want to talk today about how to get a new husband. Now, if you're thinking this means you're going to dump your husband, sorry, that's not the point. This is about helping your husband be new and improved. So you're saying, well, shouldn't you be directing your remarks toward the men? No, actually, I need to direct my remarks toward you today, ladies, because there's a very key role that you can play in all of this if we do it God's way. But before you can turn your husband into a new man, maybe some of you ladies need to think about becoming a new woman. Some women work so hard to make good husbands, they never manage to make good wives. So let's see what the scripture has to say about the role of the woman and specifically the wife in marriage. 1 Peter 3, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, by the way, for this particular portion. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, even those who refuse to accept the good news. Your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. They'll be won over by watching your pure, godly behavior. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. We'll stop there. What do we learn here about getting a new husband? Point number one, be the best version of you that you can be. Be the best version of you that you can be. Now, first and foremost, for a girl, you want to be godly. You want to become a virtuous woman. I hope you've read Proverbs 31, but if you haven't, go read that later. And it tells you all about what a woman of virtue looks like. There's something very special about a godly girl. Number two, respect your man. Ephesians 5:33 says, let each one of you men in particular love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ladies, do you respect your husband? Listen to this. Wives need love and husbands need respect. That's not to say that husbands don't need love and wives don't need respect, but it is to say scripture very specifically says to wives, respect your husband, and very specifically says to husbands, love your wives. So I think we should pay attention to that. Point number three, submit to the leadership of your husband. Now, this is not in any way to suggest that a man is superior and a woman is inferior. It is to say, rather, they belong to each other. Therefore, when God calls a woman to submit to the leadership of the man, he's not saying she's any less than a man because she isn't. Showing men and women have equal standing before God, Paul writes in Galatians 3:28, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, listen, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. So though there is no difference between men and women in the nature of their salvation and standing with God, there is a structure of authority that God has set in the marriage. Now, I know it's easier to submit to godly leadership. If your husband is loving you as Christ loves the church, it's really not that hard to follow because he's putting you first. But on the other hand, sometimes you find yourself in a marriage with a man that is not godly at all. Maybe he professes faith, but he doesn't really lead as he ought to spiritually. Maybe you found yourself in a marriage to a non-believer. So what should you do? Because I've heard Christian girls come up to me and say, you know, Greg, I think the Lord's telling me to divorce my heathen husband, and he said to me the other day, go marry the cute guy you saw at church last week. No, you know what? God didn't say that. How do you know what God didn't say? Because here's what he says in this word. If you're married to a non-believer, don't leave him, but try to win him without a word. Are you saying I should still submit to the leadership of a husband who isn't a Christian? The answer is a qualified yes. A qualified yes. And by that I mean, yes, you are to let him be the leader in the relationship, but not if he would tell you to do something that is outside of the will of God. Illustration. Let's say your husband said to you, the Christian wife, I don't want you to go to church on Sunday anymore. No more church. Just stay home with me on Sunday mornings and watch me sleep in my lazy boy recliner. What should you do? Why don't you stay home and submit? No. Say, honey, I love you. I'm making a nice breakfast, and then I'm going to church with the kids, and we'll see when we get back. And yeah, you need to think of your own spiritual life. So that's a situation where you would not submit to that leadership. Let's say the husband asked you to do something that was immoral or it was illegal. No, you're not required to submit to that. Let's say the husband is hitting you. No, you're not required to submit to that. Understand what this means. Because there are times when a higher law supersedes a lower one. And though God has established a family structure of the husband as the head and the wife in a submissive role, he has also established the fact that he is over all.
You're listening to A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, Senior Pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California, USA. And today, Pastor Greg joins us with his wife, Kath, as they dialogue on the Bible's counsel to Christian women. Let's continue.
Now let's hear from the beautiful Catherine Laurie, as she comes out.
Dun, 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 dun.
Hello, everybody. Dun,
dun. You know, I said to you last time, do you think girls, I said this on the fly, and I loved your response, so I'll repeat the question. Do you think that guys are kind of like dogs and girls are kind of like cats? Understand where I'm going. A dog, you know, where you stand with a dog, you know, cats are mystical and they leave you and they come back and they lick you and they don't talk to you. And, you know, where, what is it, you know?
Look,
and then
look,
you had an interesting answer to that.
Am I buying this?
You had an interesting answer to that really stupid question.
Well, I think it's very interesting because women are interdependent and guys are more independent. I mean, that's just, you know, in culture, that's guys, you know, they go out, they venture out, they get their jobs, their world is out there, they kind of independently move. Whereas women, I think we're a little more complicated.
Yeah.
I think just the fact...
Understatement of the year.
Way more complicated. Just our bodies are more complicated.
Yeah.
Our minds, our emotions are more complicated, for sure. And we have strengths that guys don't have, and even though we are interdependent, we have social life for a woman is very important. Our friendships are very important. Our relationships with our children are very important. We're more interconnected, and that's why I say women are more like dogs, and men are more like cats.
Okay, Kathy, talking to a wife married to a non-believer, win them without a word. What does that mean, do you think?
Okay, well, I've studied that passage in Peter pretty carefully, and from what I have learned is that at the time when that was written in the Roman Empire, there was a law that basically was pater familias, and that was men were literally like kings in their home. Women had no rights. They couldn't own property. They had no education. If a husband wanted to have his wife divorced or put to death or to be chastened or whatever, there were no rights for women whatsoever. So when Peter is writing this, he is writing to a situation where a woman might be married to a non-believing husband, a man who doesn't have the scriptures to inform him. And it's so beautiful because what we learn about the headship of a man from a biblical perspective is not, it's not to be a king. It's not like you have the platinum card and she has to fly in the back of the plane. It's servant leadership as Jesus demonstrated, which is he laid down his life for us. He lovingly led. He washed the disciples' feet and said, I am your Lord and Master, and this is the example. So, you know, non-believing men in the Roman times would have this unbelievable authority, and Peter is telling them to use your godly lifestyle. Use the tools that you have as a woman in a situation like that. So without a word, without being overly talkative, overly domineering, and I think the situation in society and in culture today is kind of, it's kind of upside down from what it was then. We have men who are unwilling to take the leadership role. So as a result, women become hyper controlling. When there's a leadership vacuum, they'll step in. And if women are questioning of the man's authority, if they're always belittling their husband, if they're always doubting and resisting their decisions and leadership, you know, husband at some point will step down.
Yeah.
And then you have this total imbalance, and that is unscriptural, unbiblical. You know, in our marriage, by and large, Greg and I don't really have that many situations where he has to say, Kathy, we disagree, and I am making the decision for the family and for you and what I believe the Lord has shown me, and then I have to submit to that. That's so rare in the 40 years, 42 years of marriage. By and large, he asks my opinion, we discuss things together, we reach a compromise, a consensus. But there have been times where Greg has had to make the tough decision. And, you know, I didn't always appreciate that. That is not something that I saw modeled at my home growing up. I didn't have a biblical model to see. So I had to learn from scriptures, which is really hard to learn to back down. When it comes, push comes to shove, I'm called to submit. And what I have discovered over the years is that when I did not belittle and question and resist Greg's leadership, one of two things has happened. One is that it's turned out that he has made exactly the right decision. And even though me, with all my intuition and with all my abilities to communicate, with all my smarts that I think I have, I was wrong. And then I've seen the Lord show me that. And so don't question Greg. You know, he's been given the responsibility. Pray for him. And if it's not my will, you pray. And then there were other times when Greg may have made a decision and he would freely admit that was not the right choice. And what happened as a result? The world didn't fall apart, and we survived, and he learned a really important lesson too. And that was, sometimes you need to listen to your wife.
Would you close with prayer and maybe pray for the ladies here? There's girls listening right now, they're going, yeah, I like what she says, that's biblical. Yeah. Some girls are going, what? She yeah. said, what? I don't know if I agree with that. But you know, honestly, you're kind of disagreeing with scripture, because that's all we're sharing here, but we're also sharing how this has worked for us in 42 years of marriage. So these are not theories. These are biblical principles that we found to be true, not just in our marriage, but have seen in so many others. But maybe pray for the ladies and pray for their marriages in general right now.
There's so much more that could be said about all of these things, yeah. girls. And I would suggest that you get into a Bible study, get in a circle of friends who yeah. understand these things, find a mentor, find someone with a biblical marriage that you admire and respect, and learn, because you're not going to learn this anywhere else. But yeah. I'd be happy to pray.
Okay, let's pray.
Lord, we are so grateful that you have not left us without a roadmap. You have not left us without instructions, and beautiful instructions that if we read them rightly and understand that when you speak of submission, you modeled it for us. Jesus, you came into this world, and though you were Lord and Master, you humbled yourself and looked out for our interests above your own. You put our needs above your own, and that is what we are called to model, both husbands and wives, and for that we need the empowering of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, these are things that fly contrary to every fiber of our natural being. It is not normal to be selfless. It is not normal to think of others above ourselves, but we know that as we become more like you, your Holy Spirit that dwells in us is transforming us and changing our priorities. And that, Lord, you promise us that if we would humble ourselves and be obedient, that you would watch out for us, and that ultimately it would lead to a beautiful and a fulfilling and a happy life. So, Lord, we do ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to live lives that will be pleasing to you as women, as wives, as singles, and that you would have sway in every decision, in every action, every word that we would speak, especially in our marriages. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's thank Kathy for coming out.
Pastor Greg Laurie and his wife Kath with practical insight for the Christian home. Glad you've joined us today for this special presentation here on A New Beginning. Now, next time we'll have some more insights from Pastor Greg's series Home Sweet Home, titled Practical Insights for Christian Parents. That's next time, right here on A New Beginning. This is the day, the day when Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called How to Get a New Husband. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app where it's available as a podcast. Or for a copy on CD, contact Vision Christian Store on 1-800-00-50-11 or go to visionstore.org.au. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.